Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So we had a great time last night, and we saw many people get touched and filled with the Holy Spirit. Last night we had some powerful encounters, and we really saw God move. And we spoke last night about how it is so important for every single believer to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. To have an encounter with the living God. Amen. As a Christian, it is essential for us to walk and to know Him intimately. Now, this evening, you know, it was so difficult for me to decide where to go, and because there's so much I'd like to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I think is so important for believers to have an understanding about is that the way we communicate with the Holy Spirit is not like we communicate with one another. The Holy Spirit is a spirit, so He communicates with our spirit. You have a spirit. You have a spirit, a soul, and a body. That's what you comprise of. That's what you are. So the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. So there's an inner life that you have to realize in order for you to be able to communicate properly with the Spirit of God. Now, I would love to teach you on that tonight, but I felt that I need to go in a little bit of a more different direction, and I didn't know whether to do this tonight or tomorrow night, but I feel just with the way the conference is going, and I can sense that the Holy Spirit really wants to move and do some amazing things, you know. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be ministering tonight a message, and then we'll see what God wants to do. Then tomorrow night, I'm going to minister a short message. I'm going to ask God for a word for the church, for the city, for tomorrow night, and that I'll minister that word, and then I'm going to pray for everybody tomorrow night. Whoever wants to be prayed for, I'm going to pray for. This is the Holy Spirit Fire Conference, so we pray for a fresh infilling, a fresh renewal, for strength, and for the fire of God. Amen. In that little video, you saw that the fire is a refining fire. It not only burns away all the junk in your life, but it also gives you some passion. You'll get a cloak of zeal tomorrow night. Amen. So you can have a little bit of flame and you won't be the frozen chosen anymore. Amen. It's wonderful, you know that there's far less frozen chosens now than there was a week ago. And God's busy. Amen. He's so good. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm ready to go. Let's go. You know. So tonight I'm going to be speaking to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. So we know that once you have an encounter with God, once you've encountered Him, now you need to get to know Him. But while you get to know Him, you'll also find out that He wants to use you. Amen. He wants to use every single believer. Every single believer, the Holy Spirit wants to use him. And let me explain to you why. You know that beautiful prayer that Jesus taught His disciples, "Our Father which art in heaven." And He gets to the place where He says, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So He wants His kingdom that's in heaven to be manifest here on earth. Amen. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So we need to understand, what does that look like? Now, we know that the kingdom comprises of many things. I'm not going to talk about that tonight. I want to start with this. 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 20. Now, watch this. "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." In power. In order for the kingdom of God to be demonstrated, or for the kingdom of God to be manifest here on earth, it's not going to come in word. It's going to come in power. There must be power present. I don't know about you, but there's a whole lot of talking going on. And right now on this planet, there are so many opinions. This opinion, that opinion, this teaching, this doctrine, this and that, and this and all of this, and that and this and that as well. And there's a bit of this and this too, and a bit of that. Amen. But the Bible says that the kingdom does not come in word, but in power. Amen. So one of the things we need to look for We need to look for confirmation of the word that gets taught with power. Is there power present or is there no power? Hello? Okay, Vera Beach, you're going to have to be awake tonight. Amen. Oh, it's going to be good tonight. All right. What is the power present for? The power is present for us to witness. The power is present to heal the brokenhearted, as we saw on Sunday night, we saw that Jesus came to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. He came to heal those that are sick in their body, those that are sick in their mind, in their soul. He came to heal them. He came to deliver. He came to do miracles and wonders. That is what power is present for today. Amen. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Amen. So the reason why the power must be present is in order for us to do the work of the ministry, which is exactly what Jesus was sent to do. Amen. The power of God, or the power of the Holy Spirit, is by far, let me say it one more time, it is by far the greatest power. In fact, to try and compare this power to any other power would be like ridiculous. This is the power that created the world. This is the power that has the ability to raise from the dead. This is the power that can change something, that can create something. This is the power that restores. This is the power that heals. This is the power that delivers. This power, listen to me, is alive. If there's anybody in this room and you've been involved in witchcraft, you will know, you will know that even the power of the devil is a dead power. It's a bad imitation. It's a weak imitation. I've seen witchcraft. I've seen them shaba shaba shaba. And it's like, yes, there's power, but there's no comparison and there's no life in it. What it does is it somehow causes grief, and it's like whenever they operate with their demonic power, it almost brings it's like death. So there's darkness all around the power of the enemy, which comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You go to the witch, in South Africa we have witch doctors. Here you have witches. They have witches there too. Amen. So you go to the fortune teller. Unfortunately, we've got many of them in Vera Beach. Don't worry, we'll sort that out. Amen. So you go to the fortune teller and you go and she puts out her little cards and she tells you about how Uncle Joe's going to have a car accident. But don't worry, because this will be okay and this will be okay and this will be okay. The devil only needs one thing: to plant a seed. It's called the power of suggestion. That suggestion will grow in you. And as soon as you become afraid of that word that was given to you, all of a sudden that fear begins to grow in you. And now that fear gives legal right to the enemy to operate in your life. And then that false prophecy comes to pass because they've made you scared. That's why the Bible says that prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Only a true prophet of God has the authority to come and give you a warning about something that bad that will happen. And normally he will give you a contradiction to the word so that you have the sword of the Spirit to come against that. But the fortune teller doesn't do that, you see. Darkness, whereas God is light. Don't be surprised. I don't know why I'm doing this. This wasn't part of my sermon. Don't be surprised if it looks like light. Because in the end times, we know that there will be angels that will appear that will look like light. But there's no life. Just because there's light, there must be life. So the Holy Spirit and God's power always brings life, growth, movement, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That's what He does. That's His nature. Amen? Amen. All right, let's get back to the sermon. In the Old Testament, we see many people, specifically the prophets, We see how they get used by God when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. When He comes upon them, He uses them to do mighty and powerful and wonderful things. But I don't want to talk about them. I want to talk about Jesus. Amen. So Jesus was really anointed with the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit upon Him. He had the Holy Spirit within Him. He had the Spirit with Him. And He operated with great power. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's go and read what the Bible says. In Acts 10 verse 38, it says this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with Him. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He walked with this power, and everywhere He went, He would manifest this power. He would basically release the kingdom of God on earth. How many of you know He came to preach the gospel of the kingdom? So when He preached the gospel of the kingdom, it was the good news unto salvation, eternity. But He also said, guess what? While I'm here, I'm going to heal your diseases. While I'm here, I'm going to save your soul. While I'm here, I'm going to break the curse of poverty. While I'm here, I'm going to heal that depression. While I'm here, I'm going to take your hand, and those who accuse you, those who say you'll never be amount to anything because you're a prostitute or because you did this, Jesus stretched out His hand. He had the ability to be in a room, or I guess it was outside, I don't know, but He had the ability to be somewhere. And when everybody was ready to stone the poor woman, He would say, the first one who has sin, you can cast the first stone. Why? Because He looked with love in His eyes at everybody. But the church is so quick to judge. We're so quick to judge, you know. Oh, you know, he did this. He has a black mark against his name. He's never going to get used. Poor David wouldn't have made it in the New Testament church. I mean, there's just no way. As for Paul, I mean, he would have been thrown out of churches all the time. Okay, at least I think so. Amen. One of the things I love about Jesus is you see the power that was on Him was always given out. Watch this. Luke 6 verse 19, it says, and the whole multitude sought to touch Him, for power went out from Him and He healed them all. Jesus had the ability because of because He was so filled with the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit without measure that He healed everybody. He was so in line. The Holy Spirit was so at home in Him that the two were in such unity that everywhere He went, He could operate with such incredible power, with the motive of pure love, with no desire to of self-promotion. He just wanted to promote God. He just wanted to promote the Father. Everything the Father says, I do. He just went on and did what He had to do. He laid down His life. He did everything for us. And everything He did was because He loved people. Amen. But power would go out of Him all the time. What I love about it is that before Jesus leaves, He tells His disciples that the Holy Spirit will now be with them. That when He goes, it's even better for Him to go because the Holy Spirit will come and He'll be their comforter and all this stuff. But watch what else He says. In Luke 24, verse 49, He says this. He says, behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. In other words, He was telling His disciples, the same Spirit that's on Me, that helps me and operates with me and speaks to me and that heals the people when I touch them, that same Spirit, He's going to come upon you. And on the day of Pentecost, they were all endued with power. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And we see them do amazing works. We see Peter's shadow fall on people and heal people. We see Peter get up and preach a sermon with such power and fire. And I'll read a little story about something He does in just a little bit. But what I love is it doesn't stop there. Because it goes so far. So many people say, well, you know, it was, you know, the Holy Spirit was only poured out on the apostles. Yes, absolutely. But do you know that Paul was not one of them at that stage? And the Holy Spirit decided that he would anoint Paul as well. And everywhere they went, I read it last night, everywhere they were going, they would go and they would preach the good news. And that apostles would make sure that everywhere that received Jesus, that the Holy Spirit went with them. That the Holy Spirit was given to them. That he came upon them. That he empowered them. And I told the group last night, for those of you that weren't here, I think it must drive Satan absolutely crazy. Because God gives God with the dust of the earth. With the laying on of hands in the book of Acts, you see how the apostles would lay their hands on them and the Holy Spirit would come upon them. This must freak Satan out. That's God's using the dust of the earth to give his spirit. All right, it's okay. Jesus said to the church in Thessalonica, if you're Greek like me, in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, this is what it says. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. It's very clear that to this particular group who he was writing to, he made it obvious and clear that the word of God must come, absolutely. But there must also be power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit must be with them. Amen. This is what he says to the one group of churches. Now, let's see what he says to the church in Corinth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. There's a lot of human wisdom out there. Paul, and let me tell you something, he knew the Bible. He was being trained to be a head Pharisee. This guy knew the word. He could quote the first 5 books of the Bible. But when he finally came to the realization that all his knowledge, as good as it was not going to cut it. There was only one message that he needed to have in his pocket. And that was the message of the cross. That was the message of the one who came and died and gave his life for you. And the same power that raised him from the dead, the same power that's been through the ages, that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same power, he needed to demonstrate it. He needed to take it with him everywhere he went. And so he says, I choose not to come to you with my wisdom, not to come with my theology and my argument, because I know that I'm right and you're wrong. I have a doctorate and a thesis of this. And it's good to study. I'm all for it. None of the guys here, none of them will become a pastor if they don't study. They don't have to study yet, but they have to study. They must have the word. Amen. But even once he had all that, he realized that the power lies in the cross. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration. Listen, demonstration is not talking. Demonstration is doing. Demonstration is power. Demonstration is showing. Demonstration is giving them the ability to see. The same things that Jesus did, he was doing them too. That's why the Pharisees got so upset and the high priest got bent out of shape, because they thought when they nailed Jesus to the tree, this would be the end of it. But it was only the beginning. It was only the beginning. Now watch. Now watch. That your faith should not be in the cleverness, the wisdom of man, but in the
power.
What?
Power.
Okay. Of who?
God.
In the power of God. There's a whole lot of talking going on. So that's what he said to the church in Corinth. There are two things, church, that you always look for. Is there fruit? Now, there is different types of fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit, which is where we see the nature of a person begin to change. And there's also the fruits of productivity. In other words, we see in the ministry's life, or in that, in your life, are you changing? Are you growing? Are people's lives being transformed? Is people going from darkness? Are people going from darkness to light? I've been hanging around my wife too much. She's Afrikaans. She's going to moan at me now when she hears me say this. My goodness. It's not your fault, honey. It's mine. Don't worry. You look for that. But you must always look. Is there power present? I've taught this from the beginning. I've taught my staff this. I've taught Mike this. I've taught the guys. When you hear people prophesy, is there power or is there not? You must always look for power. Transformation. Is there transformation? Is there power? Is something happening or is there no movement? Are we stuck or are we moving? Amen?
Amen.
All right. You get that, right? So now he's addressing the Romans. Romans 15, verse 19. In mighty signs and wonders, wonders are miracles, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He is saying that in that region, to that church, I preached the gospel while I was doing mighty signs and wonders by the who? By the power of the Spirit. What Spirit? The same Holy Spirit that was on Jesus was on him. And he was doing the same things that Jesus was doing. Can you say amen?
Amen?
All right. Timothy was a very dear son to Paul. And he had a warning for Paul. He said to Paul in 2 Timothy 3, verse number 5. He said, be careful of them. Because there's all these new hotshot preachers. And they have a lot to say. And they teach all kinds of new doctrines and all kinds of new stuff. And he says, watch. He says, they have a form, verse number 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people, turn away. Turn away. I don't know how much more evidence we need in order for us to understand that the gospel message is a message of life, is a message of salvation, is a message of restoration, is a message of power. The only problem is the same thing that Jesus would marvel at. And that is that spirit, that pressure, that force of unbelief that so easily creeps in the church. Yes, of course, it's false doctrine or bad teaching, whatever. But us as believers struggle so much because we see with our natural eyes and everything is in the natural. We struggle so much to be able to tap into the things of the Spirit and hear what God is busy saying. The reality is, guys, is that God wants to anoint every single one of us. The Holy Spirit has been given to all of us. He's here for all of us. There's no special person. He chooses you. If you choose Him, He chooses you. Amen? If you give your life to Him, He chooses you. He wants to touch you. He wants to fill you. He loves to fill you with His presence. We saw it last night. Amen. We saw a powerful manifestation of His presence last night. Amen. So He comes when we ask. When we ask, if we seek, if we thirsty. We saw last night, if we have that attitude, He comes, and He came last night. Amen. And His power is available to everyone. There is a difference between the presence, which we all have, and the power. But one thing we must never forget, and one thing we must always understand, if we go to the book of Zechariah, chapter number 4, verse number 6, this is what it says. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Understand that we rely completely on Him, but we have to get ourselves to the place where we line up with Him. That's what dying to yourself means. That's why Paul said, "I die daily." Because every single day, he would have to line himself up with what God is saying. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now let's... let's go to John 12, verse 23. I'm nearly done, and then we're going to pray. This is right at the end of Jesus' time here on earth. Very close to the end. This is what he says. "But Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Now watch. "Now my soul is troubled." Now listen, pay attention. He's busy talking about what it's going to take to be used by God. Watch this. Because he's about to go through an incredible test, and his soul is troubled and he's feeling perplexed because he knows what he's about to face. He says, "Now my soul is troubled." Now watch. "What shall I say? What shall I say?" Every single one of you will be faced with that question as you walk with God. When you wake up in the morning and you have a choice of how you're going to live this day, you're going to wake up and you may feel, "Oh, another day. Oh, my life." And the way you start your day will affect everything. But for those of you that desire to be used by God, and every single one of you should have that desire, you will be faced with a circumstance, with a situation, with an impossibility in front of you. And the question will come, what are you going to say? And watch what he says. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? He doesn't say, well, you know, I think we should stop right now and, you know, Lord, just take me back up. Or I give up. Or this is too hard. He says, Father, save me from this hour. Now he's saying, should I say this? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Ooh. Listen to me. God is looking once again for his sons and daughters to stand up. And when the situation comes, should we pray or should we not pray? Are we going to say, no, this is too hard? Or are we going to say, for this hour, I'm here. For this hour, I'm here right now. For this very hour. For this very hour. Now watch. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Now watch. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it. Ooh. Let's all read it together. And I will glorify it. Again. Everybody say, again.
Again. Again. Again.
Do you get the picture? Again and again and again. It's not always going to be easy. You're not going to feel like it all the time. You're not going to feel like praying. You're not going to feel like studying. You're not going to feel like renewing your mind. You're not going to feel like coming to church. And when you stand in front of that impossible situation, when you think nothing is going to happen and all fear comes and everything, you have to reject it and say, but for this hour, Lord, for this hour, I'm here. Now, Father, glorify your name. And then he will answer and he will glorify his name again and again and again and again. Can you say amen? Amen? And listen to me, this is for then, and this is for now, and this is for the future. And I'm telling you right now that revelation is coming right now to this planet. God is releasing fresh revelation. He's waking up his body. Does this make sense, Mike? Okay. Jimmy, does this make sense? Okay. All right. Luke 7, verse number 1. Now, when he had concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, he begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should be, he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with him. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion, now watch, sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But, watch, say the word. Say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd, now listen, that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent returning to his house found the servant well who had been sick. This man did something out of the natural. He believed. We have to get rid of that unbelief. This centurion, this man believed the word of God. He believed that this was Jesus the Christ. He believed in the miracles he read about and heard about. He believed. And he said, he just sent a word. He said, just send a word. Just say something. Amen. And the miracle took place. Amen. Mark 11, 22 to 24. I'm nearly finished. So Jesus answered and said to them, listen now, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whoever says to this mountain, the mountain is a spiritual force that must be removed in our lives. That mountain can be poverty. That mountain can be sickness. That mountain can be depression. That mountain can be the devil in your life. You need to have some faith and you need to speak to that mountain. You need to speak to that situation. You need to speak the word to it. Can you say amen? Say to that mountain, be removed and cast out into the sea. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Do you want the Holy Spirit to use you? Begin to ask. Begin to speak. Begin to see. Begin to see the miracle. That centurion, he looked, he knew. If I just get him to speak the word, if he just speaks the word, it'll happen. Are you going to start speaking the word? Do you believe the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you? Do you believe it? The question is, what are you going to say when someone comes up for prayer? Oh yeah, I don't know. Oh, it's just God just healed another back, you know. I'm not going to read the whole story, but in Acts 3, Peter is walking with John. And they're walking to the gate beautiful. You all know the story. And there's a crippled man there. And Peter sees him. And it starts like this in verse number 6. Just go to verse number 6 for me. Verse number 6, please, guys. Acts 3, verse number 6. Okay, there we go. Sorry, it's not on the back screen. There we go. All right. Everybody say, then Peter,
said.
He said it. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones were received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with him, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, church, the question this evening is, what are you going to start saying? What are you going to start saying? Many people talk about the power. We all, I don't think there's a church that doesn't sing about the power. Because we all, you know, it's the same stuff, Chris Tomlin, all that stuff. We sing about the power. What I want to know tonight, where's it? Where's it? Where's the power? Because if we sing about it, and we talk about it, and we teach it, and we read it, where is it? I want to see it. I want to see it now. I want to see it tonight in this place. I want to see it now. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Do you believe? Do you believe it? Do you believe it tonight? Do you believe God can heal you? Do you believe God can set you free? What are you going to say over your life? What are you going to say about your finances? What are you going to say about that sickness? What are you going to say about that child? What are you going to say? What are you saying tonight? Somebody give him a shout. Somebody give him a clap. Father, we need your power. We need your power. Let's sing it. Come, let's sing that last song. The last one. Great is your love. That one. We're going to sing. We're going to sing and then I'm going to minister.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.